From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. The crew is all here except for David Reed. He has the week off. Morgan Alexander doing a great job filling in for the chairman of the board. Paul, it's 12:04. Halftime is here.
All new, high-level content, starting with the big-time guest. It's going to talk about the most important position in sports.
Quarterback. We have the quarterback guru, as I've referred to him as, George Whitfield Jr.
Is that your official title? Is that what's on your business card?
He goes by quarterback engineer, I think. You like that better?
I like engineer better. I've never introduced myself as the
as
guru.
That kind of that's hard to do.
That's for us.
Yeah, that humbly. And I'm telling you, I absolutely appreciate and honor it. But as a trade, I see it what we do like what engineers do. And they go in. They have to assess something, do the math, functionally make X, Y, and Z happen together. And from a nerd standpoint, that's what I see us doing.
How much of the X, Y, and Z is mental? When you talk about the physical engineering of a quarterback, feet up, what you're trying to get done, what ratio to that element that you're looking for in a QB and constructing him is mental?
The large part. So, naively, when I very first started, I thought it was about just getting Paul's footwork better, right? Oh, he's got a stutter step. You know, Jonathan, man, we can get more power if we can get him down. And I thought when I was driving to the field every day, well, this is my given craft. And slowly, it isn't. Those are like the fine details of when you're actually together. But the larger part is you're trying to align his mindset. You're trying to constantly... You know those movies where you see the guys taking shovels of coal and throwing it into the furnace of the train?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That's like, you know, just confidence-wise. I'm just constantly shoveling in confidence. Whether you can do it on the field because you tangibly did something to make him better, or you got to constantly reflect his success or his, you know, upward change or whatever it is, you know, that's become the bigger part, like a cut man in boxing. You always want his chin up and you want his gloves going, you know, because I think the most dangerous thing a quarterback stepping on the field can have is a lack of confidence, and it, you know, goes the other way.
So now we're actually going to work out with you, I think, on Sunday, and we're going to film that on Facebook Live, a number of different avenues.
Sadly.
Can you shovel the coal for us appropriately and give us some confidence as we're doing this?
Shoveling manure.
No, we got some special things planned. We're gonna kind of do a before and after. My guy Matt Jope is in here. We're gonna let you guys all be yourselves. I'm gonna put a ball in each of your hands. We're gonna let you throw and let you do your thing for a few moments. We're not just gonna come in and jam some mechanics down your throat. And then over the course of, you know, a little short afternoon, see what it looks like on the back end. I'm so excited for this because you can really move the needle with, you know, incredible athletes like yourselves, right?
Absolutely.
Who are not
mold
on
us.
The field. Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun.
George Whitfield Jr. in studio with us. What brings you to Nashville, though?
Well, what brought us to Nashville is once a chance to get on this side of the Mississippi. So we're based in San Diego, and once or twice in off season, we like to get on this side of the country. Set up a workshop for youth and high school players. A lot of those guys kind of make their way out to California, or they meet us in Texas. We go into Texas quite a bit. And so we try to look and think of all the best scenarios. Nashville, obviously, it's like the heart of the country. Kirk Herbstreit is a mentor of mine, so I get a chance to kind of see and work with him. And then a lot of colleges are right around here, and so those guys can kind of easily travel in and train. And then it's Nashville. This place is so cool. I mean, it's just such a great place.
Do you like anonymity about where you're working out?
No, we're at Montgomery Bell Academy.
Okay, good. You can say that.
Yes,
because now I see the NBA connection with Kirk Herbstreit.
Yes.
And his son.
Yep.
Who played NBA.
Yep, and he helped navigate us over there. Just, you know, otherwise we were just going to kind of step back, and we only really knew two schools. Think Brentwood Academy and is one of the other big powers here. And we met Coach Uvard last trip.
Marty Uvard does a great job. Uvard,
he's a great guy. But no, we're at Montgomery Bell, so if there's anybody not doing anything during the day, you got a little coffee break and you want to see some nerds out there on the field, you come right on over.
How do the quarterbacks find you now, right?
Yep.
How did you find the quarterbacks to get started?
Oh, great question. I'm going to try to blitz through this question. I was playing arena football and in Chicago, and the off seasons are pretty cold. So I moved to San Diego so I could prepare without running on treadmills and without throwing in gymnasiums. I did that. And then that off season, the following off season, I played arena in Louisiana, came back. I had one of my good buddies down there in San Diego. He said, hey, there's a family who has a marketing job. They're starting a beer company. They got a marketing job. Whit, you should take it. It'll get you out. You can see San Diego. I said, I don't know enough to even, I only know two or three beers. I am like a beer guy. Now I want to sell beer. He said, doesn't matter. Turn your resume into this lady. See what happens. So she got my resume. It's a husband and wife team. They're starting a company. Now the company's called Green Flash Beer. And she put my resume on her kitchen counter. Well, her fourth grade son picked it up and started kind of looking. He saw all these, it only read football, right? Youngstown State as a player. Iowa as a grad assistant. Arena. Well, he had never played ball and his dad had never played football. And the rule was you could play anything else in football, but if you play quarterback, you better find somebody to actually teach you. So he got on his, what was it then? AOL.com.
Yeah, the old dial-up.
And tried to verify some of his articles. He was printing out these little obscure articles, Tiffin University, Massillon. And he printed them out, put them back on the counter, and stapled them to my resume and put a post-it note on the top of it and said, found my quarterback coach, let's do this. That's a fourth grader. So when the mom, who has my resume to be her marketing person, called me, I said, oh, cool, maybe this is some good news. And she said, hey, we like you, but for something totally different. And I said, what's the difference? And she said, we like you to work with our son. On what? And she said, well, you got a little football background. Could you just kind of show him some ABCs of quarterbacking? And right away, I wasn't even disappointed about not getting the job. That obviously is going to pay more than whatever this one day session is going to be, but let's do it. So we did it. 2 hours, $40 in a little league outfield. We didn't throw the ball one time. This is the huddle. This is how you got to be. You got to call for their eyes up. I got mom and dad in the huddle. I was trying to get his kid sister, but she wouldn't sit still enough to be a part of it. We look at the line of scrimmage. We practice jogging on and off the field. We didn't throw the ball one time, 2 hours. And then, I thought I did something, and I drove home, and I thought, wow, we didn't even throw. You won't even get that call back. Well, 15 minutes later, that mom had set up five more sessions, and me and the dad was his receiver. He goes into that following fall. Every week, we got another call from somebody. Eventually, the kid and I threw the ball, but we were getting a call. The opposing player's mom, the opposing player's coach. 6 becomes 12, becomes 18. You got one fourth grader whose footwork is now better than his eighth grade brother, who's a quarterback. In comes the eighth grader. I remember calling back to Massillon, Ohio, celebrating with my dad. We got our first varsity player, Dad. I got a varsity quarterback. He's fourth string, but I'll take it. And then along comes a junior college guy. I can't believe it. This junior college coach says we can. And it was just wins. And then Roethlisberger popped up in 2010. And then it was just like the whole thing went from cool tourist helicopter to like a NASA rocket ship.
What happened to the fourth grader that started all of this?
Mikey Hinckley. He went on to University of Chicago, or he graduated last year as a, he started his career out as a quarterback, moved on over to tight end. It's probably still on
your
me.
Fault.
And now he's doing well. He's in business in Chicago. So love him. Always kept up with the family. They were great. That beer company now is from Vancouver down to Mexico. It was born in that kitchen, and I think so was our little quarterback academy was born in that kitchen.
George Whitfield in studio with us.
Marcus Mariota told us when he came back from the offseason that he was working on widening his base. And we're going to, when we come back, talk to George about what he would do with a guy who's trying to widen his base, what Marcus has probably done, and what he expects we'll see from a guy who's concentrated on
that. The list is long of QBs that he's worked with. We'll dive into some of those names as well. Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Want to talk to you right now about Exit Realty and the Moore Group and Associates. If you're selling or buying a home locally, they will sell your home for $950. The website, wesellhomesfor950.com. The phone number is 615-636-8244. On a $300,000 home, that's over $8,000 in savings. Savings that can be used for a down payment, for closing costs, for upgrades. If you're building a new home, what all are you going to get for $950? You're going to get a lot. In-home consultation, professional photography, a full-time listing manager, expansive social media and internet marketing, a mega open house, professional showing service, expert consultation, negotiation, and a full-time transaction management service. Give Exit Realty and the Moore Group and Associates a call today. They have over 100 years combined real estate experience. The phone number is 615-636-8244. Online at wesellhomesfor950.com.
Hello, sports.
Quarterback engineer, ESPN analyst, George Whitfield in studio with us. He's in town this weekend.
George, Marcus Mariota, when he came back from his off-season work, I asked him, you know, people usually have one specific thing at the top of their list that they want to address. He said for him, it was his narrow base. And I know guys, and he said it dates way back. It's a hard habit to break. I know guys with narrow bases tend to overstride and throw high, and we've seen him throw high a lot, especially to the right. So I'm wondering, if somebody is in front of you with that issue, how do you go about fixing it?
One, it's really self-aware on him. A lot of guys don't want to either reveal that or look that in the eyes. They'll say, I need to get stronger. I need to just get better conditioning. They don't want to look at an actual mechanical piece like that. Widening his base is smart. You're right. It does combat overstriding, because you've already covered that real estate. If your base is already wider, there's no real need to step bigger. You've already kind of provided that, and he's getting more powerful. Marcus is a taller, longer, leaner guy, 6'4" plus, and if you can kind of widen your base, it's going to give him more power and stability. Some of this stuff, I think, is kind of born out of the gun. So he was in shotgun a lot as a high schooler, and he was in shotgun exclusively in Oregon. And your base is already kind of narrow because you're standing there and the ball is mailed back to you. Now he's finding himself under center more, dropping, having to stop himself and set himself up in the pocket. And then you have to do more organizing with your feet, basically. You have to basically get yourself reorganized. And I think it's really smart on his part to put that time in. That's going to make him a lot better.
For instance, when you work with Jameis Winston, you were training him the year that he and Mariota were battling for the number one overall pick.
Yep.
Does that even come up in your training? Are you comparing him to other QBs in the draft, or are you just simply molding something he wants to work on?
Great question, because that was a heck of a run. It was Winston, Petty, and Mariota, and it was very competitive, and it even came to a head at a point out there, just to can be completely honest. We didn't end with all three. Marcus opted out of the situation. And we had worked with Marcus for a couple years beforehand. We had talked with the family. I'd been to Honolulu a couple times.
You're saying the situation got competitive between the three?
Yeah, the situation got so competitive, which I would have thought, you know, iron sharpens iron is kind of our mantra, right? So, you know, Paul and Jonathan and Chad, you three just train together. You're not really competing against each other. The league will come in and draft whoever, but every time one of you looks up, you see another alpha male, you see another big time racehorse. I thought that would be great. We went for like a week or two in that scenario, and Marcus just said he just didn't want to continue that route. What happens when guys land? There's a baseline of curriculum they all have to be up to specs on. So you won national championship, you bring in Heisman in, and Paul's got all these records. Well, that's behind you, but going forward, just like a prerequisite, your footwork has to be this fast, this clean, this effective. And now I got to try to speed all of you up against that footwork. You're throwing mechanics. It's not how pretty you are. It's how fast and how powerful you are. Can you get the ball out quickly, repetitively, and can you compete on the boundary? Everybody can throw the nice lob shot over the top of the defense, but can you compete on the boundary? Great route, great coverage. Can you win that over and over and over and over without a tell, right? So Jameis, being a baseball player, his hands would drop just like he's wearing a glove and a baseball. That was the first offseason he did not pick up a baseball in his life. So he had his own unique mechanics. Marcus was pretty clean. I just don't know how flexible we were up top at the time to be able to snap that off. He didn't really throw a bunch of balls at Oregon from behind center. They either kind of rolled him or he was already on the move. That he had his own unique deal, and then so did Bryce Petty coming out of Baylor. And then you've got to go, and then they're all learning seven-step drops. Nobody takes seven-step drops. Even the kids that play under center in college, they just don't do it. Oddly, in the NFL, you have to get that down to pass through the gates of the combine and the pro day, and then you probably won't see seven-step drop again, but you still have to get those down. So partly, you got to get them up to speed on NFL mechanics and game scenarios. The other part is you got to diagnose what's ailing them, what's holding them back, and then you got to get them ready for all the big tests. So they do all have a unique feel to their pass, but by and large, they all have to kind of go through prerequisite stuff. But it was that was a really kind of over the top. It's like squeezing three elephants into a room that probably fit two, and yeah, one busted out.
I always wonder, and the CBA has set this up. It's probably been beneficial for you. January, February, March, guys can't be in the facility.
Right.
They can't be. Mariota here had a new quarterback coach and a new coordinator they couldn't work with.
Right.
And he's off with Ryan Flaherty and whoever else. What's your relationship like with those teams? Because there's a lot of room for resent, or there's a lot of room that you're doing X, Y, and Z, and he comes back, and I don't believe in X. And right, he's just spent right. 3 months doing X, and now I got to beat X out.
So, Paul, great question. I learned that quickly. The best method for me to do that with is to be an extension of the staff. So in that scenario, say it's here in Tennessee, it's the best thing is to be an extension of the Titans quarterback, coach, and coordinator. So if Marcus says, hey, I want to come out, I want to put some time in, I want to work, really because I don't really have too many other choices. I can't do it with my own staff. So the best thing for me to do as an independent, learn what his staff would like covered. How do they want it covered? Take those marching orders onto the field out there in California, wherever that may be, and then work that. And then quite a few teams and coordinators, NFL and college, I'll call them. Sometimes you FaceTime with them while the kid's on the field, or sometimes you just simply video and record it and then send it back to them in real time. Here, what do you think? Here he is right here. It's 6 hours in on the field in 3 days, and that coach will say, hey, A, it's going great. B, veer a little bit more to the left. I see what you're doing. Take your course a little further left. We're probably on our mark. But that's really tough, and I think the rule is a terrible rule because it bars the exact position that needs the most development. There, it's a rule they can't go in and do any work, do any prep work in college and pro. And there's these big blackout periods where back in the day, these guys could pop in, sit, and just sun up to sun down. Hey, now let's watch another game. Let's get on the board. Let's go out and throw. And you're in there and you're under the care and guise of coaches. And now it's a rule against it. And I think it's kind of retarded the game quite a bit, you know, when you see guys. And now they're even saying, well, let's get this guy in here and see if he can play in a half a season or a couple of games. It's like, what are you talking about? He didn't get to do anything in the offseason. Then when he comes in here with the rest of the quarterbacks, the starter takes 90% of the reps. The number two gets a little bit, and the rookie's watching. When it does come time for the rookie to grab the keys, he had zero prep. And now you guys want to say, let's see if he can play or not. Whether he can play is, that's immaterial. Did he even get a chance to cut his teeth, learn, develop? That is, that's the bigger question.
At the same time, it's good for business. You think it's bad for football, but it's good for business.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it's great for us. No, it's great for us. Because it does leave you... It does leave a void that you can naturally fulfill. But as a supporter of the game and a supporter of staffs, coaches, and quarterbacks, you understand their plight. Very, very little do they have a chance to work together.
George Whitfield runs a quarterback training academy, Whitfield Athletics.
I want to ask you specifically about a situation with a guy that you're training here at NBA in Nashville, Jarrett Garantano. New staff comes in, want to run closer to a pro-style system now that you saw at USC or Alabama or Stanford, where they have a graduate transfer coming in or a transfer in Keller Chris to compete for the job. You've worked with a lot of quarterbacks who are trying to get accustomed to taking snaps from center, doing things you'd see NFL quarterbacks doing. If you take on a Jarrett Garantano, who you're working with now, do you call Jeremy Pruitt? Do you talk to the staff? Do you sort of look at film for what Tyson Helton has done at USC to try to mold your plan with how you work with Jarrett Garantano? Or is it just the basics of taking snaps from center, the drop, everything else when you start?
Both. It's both. I really like Coach Pruitt. I had a chance to talk with Coach Pruitt. I used to still do. I pick a couple coordinators, NFL or college defensive coordinators out, and get their perspectives. How would you stop this quarterback? And sometimes these guys go into great detail.
And this is with all the college guys you work with.
Oh, yeah. So I've done it with Cam. I've done it with Manziel. And I've called a couple SEC coordinators and a couple ACC guys who won't play Manziel. And I say, how would you stop him? Well, one, we contain him, and we give him a little rush up the A gap to get him off his launch point, but we just try to just corral him because we don't think he's going to hurt us. So I put that down.
Well, and Jeremy Pruitt could have told you how he'd stop Jarrett Garantano because he was the defensive coordinator against him last year.
Right.
When he was at Alabama. So he could give you notes on that for
him. Of course. So I haven't talked with Coach Pruitt since he got the job. We've communicated through other ways, but it's both. So, yes, one, you do touch base with their staff specifically. With Jarrett and with a lot of these young quarterbacks, I've been around Jarrett since he's a sophomore in high school. So if they do come to California, most of the times these guys will come in for a week. And we kind of split the training and the curriculum. Two-thirds is going to be what your team does back home. And that's where we take those marching orders. And we'll save a third, maybe a quarter of the time and learn the basics of coming out from under center. I just think at some point in your life, you're going to have to do that. So young high school player, young college player, you may play in the gun and do all these great things. We'll prepare and support you in that. But hey, in this next session, let's go under center. Let's come out and go left, right, learn to hitch, learn to move around under pocket, ball control up underneath the center. And let's just get the prereqs down. So Garantano's, he was the most excited about the call for when Coach Pruitt came in. He studied him. He's a very, you know, meticulous. And he said, if history is any indication, this is going to be a great system for me. I think you guys are going to get a chance to talk to him here in the next day or two. And he'll tell you, he was thrilled. Kids honestly want that opportunity. They want to showcase the fact that they can come in and fly a true NFL-modeled aircraft. That's what they want. And it's fun to play at Oregon. It's fun to play at the other places. And they're going to put up an awful lot of points. But quarterbacks who wake up and see themselves as a quarterback, they want that credibility. They want the verification and validation of handling all these nuances of offensive system. Pruitt's bringing that, and Garantano's excited about that.
What's the number one thing you want to work on with Jarrett Garantano over the course of the next few days?
Continue to develop his touch, which is every single big, heavy arm guy from Cam Newton to Cardale Jones.
And you would consider him a big, heavy arm guy.
Yeah, he just doesn't happen to be big or heavy, but his tools are big and heavy. He's a leaner kid, but he's probably one of the three or four biggest arms, you know, I've been around. And I'm not talking about just trying to tattoo somebody. Like, it just naturally, he can just cover great distances very easily. You got to develop the off-speed pitch, and that's what we're trying to do. He's getting an awful lot better at it. You want him to kind of appreciate it and be able to do it naturally. So touch, and then, yeah, we're still trying to work and get better on footwork and timing.
George Whitfield in studio with us. George, give me examples of maybe two quarterbacks in the NFL who are different players in the pocket but are just as efficient with their technique. Like, they can still get it done regardless of how they are in the pocket, per se. Like, Ben Roethlisberger compared to someone else Is there a right way to do it when you're coaching them, or are you framing them based on their traits?
You're saying when they're in the pocket, but under some in some chaos in the pocket.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, great question. There's two things for me that, bless you. There's two things for me when you watch quarterbacks and you watch on tape that will immediately erode a guy's system. Conditioning, because you can watch a lot of games in the third and fourth quarter and guys start to come undone, and so too does the conditioning and pressure. Conditioning you can take care of on your own, and pressure over time, if you have, you know, good answers around you, either based on a system or you're honed in mechanically, you can kind of survive that. I know it's cliched. Aaron Rodgers would be one such guy. You could see him. And when you're saying, I'm talking about just the effectiveness and efficiency. Heat's turned up, Indiana Jones type buildings and statues falling around him. He's good. He's up. The ball is up. And we call it dribbling with your eyes up. When he's moving around, his eyes are looking downfield. That's where he can take advantage. People really don't realize when you're watching games and defenses are sending five, six, seven people in from all directions, it's a gamble on that defense's part. You're giving up real estate on the back end to try to come in and get a guy. If that quarterback is quick enough, sharp enough, perceptive enough to recognize, hey, I've got about another half a second to take advantage of this situation. I'm probably going to get laid out, but I'll also get this 30 yards. If I can keep my eyes up, those guys are, they're vicious. And over time, they stop blitzing him as much. So Breeze, I think, is another great one. In terms of young quarterbacks who I think are really apt, I don't think he's as young, but Russell Wilson, I think he does a great job of kind of getting himself in and out of danger. Carr with the Raiders. I've seen him a lot of times. I really respect him. Put his foot in the ground. You're about to get erased. That's okay. I have just enough time to let this ball go. Whatever happens to me, it's not as big as what I'm going to affect that whole sideline on their side, and I'll get it. I think Marcus has done a really good job getting in and out of jams. Ironically, the ones that comes more naturally too, they have to work harder when they are contained within the pocket. And I think that's the great growth with all those guys. That's and you can't get that in practice, because if you think about it, in practice, there's a bust and somebody comes through the offensive line, there's seven, eight guys with whistles running and stopping and protecting the quarterback. They want to run the play perfectly. So now that quarterback's alarm and regard for the situation is always lessened, because don't worry, somebody's not going to let me get touched in here. You do that all week, then you get out there on Saturdays or Sundays and people are coming through all day. And so you got to learn with real bullets, but we'll practice with a water gun, but this is supposed to simulate, and they don't even let you get wet with the water gun shooting at you. So it's a really strange thing. They got to let these guys go under some duress, but I hope that wasn't such a nerdy answer, but that's how I see it. Those guys, Rodgers, Carr, Russell Wilson, I don't think they're exclusive, but I just think those guys seem to have like a bulletproof vest in and out of the pocket.
When you, Jarrett Garantano, Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin, when you're working with players like this, like you are right now in Nashville over at NBA, what's the average day like that you take them through? Oh. What is the time frame? What type of experience are they going to get throughout the course of the day when you're working with them?
Well, Chad, we got a lot smarter. I tell you, when college guys would come out, you think to yourself, man, we got to cover 50 miles. We got to cover 50 miles. We got them out here. We can do it. It's going to require a three-hour session in the morning. Get them a little lunch, a little recovery. Get 3 hours in the afternoon, maybe three and a half for smart. And, and then after, you know, by day three, day four, they can barely hold their gloves up. So I thought, let's just get smarter, not work as much. So now we try to front end the day. I love the front end of the day because nothing else has impacted their day. They haven't, they haven't watched TV. They haven't gone and done 1,000 things and on the golf course. Their girl hadn't gotten on them about whatever she's going to get on them about. Do it in the morning. You got their full attention. So we'll start. We'll have like a meeting about 7:30, 7:40, just to do our overview. Here's what's to come. Here's what to expect. This is what we're attacking today. 8 to 10:30, we're on the field. So we'll warm up, footwork, mechanics, game scenario, some medley, and then different different things. So we could be working A, B, and C, but I'd get really bored if we did one thing for 45 minutes. So you superset it. Throwing drill for 15, footwork drill for 15, a game scenario for 15, routes or pocket or something. Redo the whole thing. Now when we come back and see A again, I threw a change in there. To throw a change in B, throw a change in C. Go back and do them again. So we'll get the field done for 2.5, and we'll record it, and we got guys out there with iPads so they can actually see every angle. I mean, we treat it like a laboratory with a turf floor. That's how we look at it. There's just no need to just throw routes, thumbs up or chest bump each other, and then keep going. If you can't tangibly show him what happened, he can't remember it, he can't store that, and he can't make the changes anyway. So we try to record an awful lot of it. 10:30, we come off, then we'll go lift. A lot of these guys, they're in really regimented lifting programs back at their different places. So we try to keep that going. Their strength coaches from Wisconsin and Tennessee send their workouts with them. They'll know they'll be here for the week or wherever the kids come from. So we try to keep that going. That's 90 minutes there. Then we break for lunch. Lunch is about 12 o'clock, 12 to 1:30. So we'll get them some subs or whatever it is. And then they eat in the classroom while we're going over film. So we're either going over Paul's mechanics from this morning so he can see it up on the screen. But the beauty is, you know, I got Chad and Jonathan. You're watching Paul. You know Paul. You're on the field with Paul. And you say, I didn't even recognize he was doing that. That great thing or that odd thing that he's working on right now. Do I also do that? So everybody's kind of in there, and it's like teacher and student alike, we're all watching Paul for the next 20. Then you pop up on the film. Then sometimes we're watching defenses. Sometimes you're watching one of those Jedi quarterbacks in the NFL, whatever. So you have that for 90. Then we let them go, and then all through the week, we'll probably be bringing in a couple guest speakers to kind of talk with them, share with them, et cetera. But the day goes from about 8 to 2. But
see, I want to do this now. Yeah, I'm not even a quarterback. This sounds awesome.
You talked about not even being able to squirt the guy with the water gun in a practice scenario as compared to what he sees on a Saturday or Sunday. 7-on-7 all over the place, especially in Texas at this time of year. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of good that comes from all of those snaps and all of those throws and all of that anticipation.
Yep.
But how much does that kind of accelerate this or grow the thing where a guy has, it doesn't do anything for him dealing with pressure, which is a huge piece of the game.
A lot. And I think the great value of 7-on-7, every single throw came with a decision. Whether the decision was easy or basic or it was wide open or whatever it is, a decision, an attempt, and an execution, that's great. And you can get volumes and volumes and volumes of that, but there is no center exchange in 7-on-7. I'm just holding the ball. The tempo of the drop is just kind of when I get back there, I get back there. And kids don't really realize this, and you say it to young quarterbacks, it's a race. You getting back to your launch point, 3-step or 5-step drop, can you beat the defensive lineman trying to get to you? It's just a race. Those guys are dead set sprinting up the field. Now, they got somebody that's supposed to resist them or usher them around you. But you don't have the affordability to just kind of get back when you want to. You do in 7-on. And then you've all seen this. These guys get the ball, whether it's shotgun or they drop back. They're in 7-on, and every time they look to throw to somebody, they scoot forward, they scoot forward, they scoot forward, and they're almost back to the line of scrimmage when they throw the ball.
Never going to have that room.
I've seen kids in 7-on where they're trying to not step over the line of scrimmage and throw it. Never going to happen. So there's a lot of great in 7-on because it just lets these guys kind of execute an awful lot of offense. But again, the position in the game, how do you handle the chaos? How do you handle all the just the Indiana Jones type Temple of Doom type stuff going if you're always in like a really quiet, boxed off, you know, don't mess with me type of environment. It's a interesting dichotomy, but great question, Paul.
George Whitfield in studio with us. When we come back, George, for our final segment, Andrew Luck has not thrown a football in a real game in 501 days, but he is someone you've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know from your perspective when we come back how much that will affect him over a full year now, year and a half, where we haven't seen him do that.
and things that he can be doing right now, except for throwing the football, that will help him when he is back and cleared and ready to go. So we'll get into that. And there's plenty of other topics and X's and O's to get into with George Whitfield. We'll do that here coming up next. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. I use Brentwood Hearing Center for my IFB, the interruptible feedback earpiece on the football sidelines, News Channel 5, Friday Night Rivals. They are the hearing care provider in Middle Tennessee. Brentwood Hearing Center offers four doctors of audiology with more than 85 years of combined experience, led by Ann Bowling and Tanya Williams. Recent studies show that people wait sometimes as long as 7 years from when they first think they're having a hearing challenge until they do something about it. If you're someone who's been putting off that visit to have your hearing checked, stop by Brentwood Hearing Center on I-65. It's time to give them a call. Find out what sounds you've missed while sitting around the family dinner table, sitting in that big meeting at the office, maybe at the big game. Give them a call at 615-377-0420. Brentwood Hearing Center, your sound solution for over 30 years. You've seen their convenient location right off of I-65 on Franklin Pike. Pay them a visit, 5544 Franklin Pike, Suite 100. Schedule your appointment. Don't miss what matters most. They'll help you get off the sidelines and back in the game. 615-377-0420. And check them out online. Their website is awesome. BrentwoodHearingCenter.com. George Whitfield in studio with us, quarterback engineer, Whitfield Athletics there in town. He's working with Jarrett Garantano currently, among others. Alex Hornibrook, one of them, the quarterback at Wisconsin. He will join us in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. So, you worked with Andrew Luck. You may still be working with Andrew Luck. I'm not sure. But, George, he hasn't thrown a football in a real game in over 500 days. Mm-hmm. What obstacles will he face the minute he actually throws his first pass? Just fundamentally.
First pass in a game, you're saying?
Yeah, or just, picks up a football and throws. What could that do to a guy who hasn't thrown in over a year?
Well, I would reverse it and say, in that long run-up, like, he's supported by an awful lot of experts, and I'm probably sure it's probably 50-50 doctors to football people. It may even be more doctors at this point. And so I'm sure they're slow playing this, and they're being very extra cautious just due to the nature of it, you know, the shoulder scap and all those different things, such a technical injury. I got to think that they have a game plan that they feel like if they just stick to it, he will be fine. But when you do take a snap and you get out there and make a pass, hopefully the run-up and all the prep that he's done all his rugged testing of his arm before he puts the shoulder pads back on. Meaning, you just don't throw, it's not just a matter of playing catch. If I'm getting chased and somebody else is bearing down on me and the receiver makes a wild break, can I competitively turn and ask my arm to do whatever is necessary? It's not a matter of just playing clean catch on the sideline. You have to go in there and compete. If I'm getting pulled down from behind and a fullback's 20 yards away, can I turn and torque the ball without stepping into it? I'm sure they're putting him through a rugged battery of tests. I'm sure he's putting himself through it. You can't go out there otherwise. Just no different from an ACL, no different from a concussion. If you can't go out there and compete, survive, thrive, you can kind of mush all that together, then it probably is best to be in the bullpen until you're ready. And I'm not talking the rote mechanical part. He could probably throw balls now. I'm sure he is. But to go out there and compete with the biggest monsters on the planet, and then you need to know you can do anything if called upon to do.
Clean pocket happens how much in a game?
Oh, this I know. And I'm sorry, just for like the nerdiness, slightly above 50%.
Really?
Slightly above 50%.
That's higher than what I would expect.
Me too.
So it I've been going back and forth. The movie Moneyball changed everything for us. I must have watched that when I saw it. I just thought, boy, we've been doing it all wrong for this long. We've been doing it all wrong. And I was, you know, just down on myself. I was even calling some players and some coaches and thinking, I can't believe we've been going and plotting along and we've been going this long. There's no airbags in this thing. There's no spare tire. We've just been going this long. So Moneyball showed me you have to take what the game actually says the results are and work off of that. Now, for them, it was assessing players. For us, it's prepping them. So I remember watching Moneyball, and then I got to the combine. I go every year, and I'm at one of those steakhouses, and I got one of the two coordinators. And I ask him, how often, you know, do you guys work and prep on chaos? I just call it anything that comes in unknown chaos, right? Lineman getting pushed back into you, linebacker flying in. It's just chaos. It's not supposed to be here, technically. Well, the guy at the Dolphins at that time, I think it's like 2011, he said, we did our own study. And the times the quarterbacks got to where they're supposed to be and threw with no interruption, 51.5%. That's at the NFL, behind millionaire linemen. That's still one of the toughest things in the world. I'm up front in a three-point stance. There's a guy my weight, maybe even heavier. He wants to go somewhere, and I'm trying to keep him out of there. It ain't like the bouncers in the club that are three times your size. These guys are like Ndamukong Suh. You're stopping another human from going where they want to go. Play in and play out. He's going to win some. He's going to win some. And then sometimes I'm just going to think, Chad's got him, and I'm looking left, and I should have been looking right. It's a technical thing. So the quarterbacks have to be accountable for that. So immediately flying home from Indy, if it happens 50% of the time that you have to move, escape, climb up, avoid something before you throw it, then that means 50% of the time in training we need to be doing that. And we hadn't. We've been doing the water gun training that you know, kind of the college staffs do have to do so they can execute the play well, but it changed our whole scope. And so now it's heavy. Half of the workouts, once you get past being able to do the drop right and throw the ball right, college and pro guys, half. It's got to be at least half. Something. You want their heart rate to go up. You want their antenna, you know, kind of to be buzzing. Something. They have to be accountable for something you may or may not do and then play. And then I don't try to, you know, forecast if I'm coming across the line or not. There's just a lot of drills you guys are going to see firsthand on Sunday. I can't wait. But you got to do that. If you're going to responsibly prepare him to go out there and play, you have to have that element built in.
Everyone can always work on something. Was there ever a guy that you started to work with and you thought to yourself, there's not a lot I could teach this player right now?
Yes.
He can work on these things, but already he knows what it takes.
Andrew Luck. And
is that top of the list? No
top,
brainer for
top
you?
Of the list. He's not the most talented, but he absolutely was the cleanest coming in. And I just think, you know, fans should just know that he had never had a private coach either. But his dad, I mean, every time he sat down at the kitchen table, he sat with a pro quarterback. As a youngster, he would go to Oilers practices and games, and Warren Moon is out there as a Hall of Famer. And he's always kind of been around the game. But he is that detailed and he's that meticulous. So it isn't so much about the talent. But, you know, if it's supposed to be driven 17 degrees in one of his engineering classes, he's going to sit there until he gets the thing to be driven 17 degrees. He's just that diligent. Feet were clean. Motion's clean. He's 240 pounds. It even got into a deal where we were quietly, awkwardly competing to who could get to the field first. I trained him at Stanford, and it's the first time we did a draft camp, not in San Diego. We did our first couple weeks in LA, and he said, hey, I have to return back to school. Would you move up to Stanford with me? Yeah, we can do that. It's a cool place. So 6 weeks we're up at Stanford, and he and I would set our own times based on his class schedule. And so we get out there, and we finish the work, and I say, all right, we'll go to 10 o'clock tomorrow. He goes, cool, see you then. Well, that practice field at Stanford has a big old tarp around it, and only the bottom foot off the ground can you kind of see through there. I get there at 9:30, and I already see feet inside the tarp. I say, ain't no way. It's 9:30. He's already in there, and he's kind of got a sweat going. I'm like, okay, touche. Tomorrow, I got you. Yeah, we'll see you here at 10. So I get there at 9:20. And I peek in there, and I just see the gate close, and he just beat me. I was like, okay, I got you. And I thought, we're going to have to just set this up. But he is that guy. He is that clean. He took a 3-win team or a 1-win team and got him to the playoffs his first year. I mean, he had to come through Nashville to do part of that. So you guys saw that. But he is that clean. So we're excited for him. We're pushing for him. But it's a big deal, though. That throwing arm, shoulder. Trying to reconstruct that thing back is a big deal.
Give our listeners an idea of what's going on this weekend if they wanted to come out.
So this weekend, we call it, you know, it's going to be Dime City and Music City. We're doing our passing workshop, not just quarterbacks, but we're doing a passing workshop. Jonathan, you and I spoke about it. We obviously love and support and push quarterbacks. And the Saints, Lance Moore, former New Orleans Saint and Detroit Lion, he's here. And he's going to be coaching and working with the playmakers. We'll be out there 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. So imagine it's the coolest class, the coolest weekend class you could possibly go to as a young football player. I think the youngest guys will have out there about fourth grade, high school. And you're going to come out and learn mechanics, how to change a tire, so to speak, when you're getting put in the jam. I'm a wide receiver, and this guy keeps pushing me, or he's grabbing my arms. How do you catch the ball anyway? I'm a quarterback, and I can't set my feet because the line keeps pushing back into my lap. How do you still can be accurate anyway? And then we'll have some competitions, but we'll go from Saturday and Sunday. We even have a parent session. We'll, all the parents and grandparents or loved ones are going to come out of the stands and go with me on the midfield, and we're going to go and set up stance, start, drop, reading for out from center. We'll do it with tennis balls. You're not going to ask grandma to come out here and rip the old pigskin. Yeah, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I've heard so much about the football lore here in this city from Golden Tate, who lives by me back home. So proud of Nashville, to all the big academies here and all the players they produced to come back here in the shadow of the Titans and do a 2 day workshop. This is not camp. You're not going to sit in long lines just to catch a single pass and get a t-shirt and head home. We're going to drive the needle, push, and hopefully get a lot of guys ready to win on their Friday nights coming up.
WhitfieldAthletics.com, athletics with an X on the end. And you can also follow George on Twitter at George Whitfield. This has been excellent.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the insight.
Thank you for having me here. This is what an honor to sit with the voices of the Tennessee Titans, really the state of Tennessee. I've heard a lot about you guys, heard you when I've been on different campuses. So thank you for having us in here.
George Whitfield has been our guest. We'll hit some headlines when we come back. Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin, he's in town training with George. He'll be in studio with us coming up in the next 20, 25 minutes or so as well. We're looking forward to that. 615-737-1045, our number. Chad, we can take some calls.
We can indeed. 615-737-1045. A lot to unpack from that last hour with George. If you want to hit on anything with that, talk about whatever you want. Also, we can get back into the Nashville Predators' decision to publicly endorse a mayoral candidate as well. A lot of people had thoughts on that earlier. 615-737-1045.
Spring is in the air. Hot, humid weather is on the way. Stay ahead of the game with an air conditioning tune-up from Precision Air. That's what's going to be happening at my home next week. They're coming out for the tune-up. Did you know a tune-up is an affordable way to ensure that your system is ready for the cooling season? It may also help save up to 20% off your energy bills and extend the life of your HVAC unit. Call Precision Air, your home comfort specialist. 615-834-3777 is the number. 834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com. They will ensure you are fully informed on the options that you have. If a repair is an option, you'll know about it. If it makes sense to replace your old inefficient unit, they're going to give you that option as well. They team up with Daikin, the largest heating and cooling manufacturer in the world, one of the only heating and cooling units made in the U.S. And the bottom line is, they're going to let you make the decision based on your unique situation. No big sales tactics, no pressure, no quotas. The technician from Precision Air is non-commissioned. They have no incentive to sell you something that you don't need. Precision Air, celebrating its 25th year serving Middle Tennessee by offering a free indoor air quality test with your tune-up. Comfort is a must, so call the experts you trust. 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com, your local Daikin Comfort Pro.